Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Apologize for my voice this morning, but Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, if you'll stand and get that, please. Matthew tells us in verse 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the miracles that you performed and that you teach us so much out of them. I pray today, Father, that our eyes and our minds and our hearts will be open to receive from the Holy Spirit what you have. Be with me as I'm just your messenger to do that, Father. For we are confident that as your word says, your word shall not return void. It will help someone today. So we praise you and love you in Christ's name. Amen. You remember from Matthew to get us to this point that he has taken us through what we call the kingdom parables. You remember those of the soil being prepared, and Jesus told us, and Matthew told us of how the seed was spread, and it meant different things to different people. It was received by some, but others could not receive it because it fell on different places. And as Jesus finished those, you remember that the Bible says it, Matthew tells us, at least in his gospel, that at this time, John the Baptist, that had been in prison because Herod had kept him there, and through a series of events, that he had been killed. He had been beheaded. So in Mark's gospel, to keep it in the order that he wants to keep it, he tells us next that when Jesus heard this, he departed from there. Now, he wasn't running from the leaders. He wasn't running from Herod, of course. But Herod wanted to see Jesus, probably in a way. He probably wanted the result to be the same as John the Baptist. But the Bible continuously tells us that Jesus would depart from here, or he would depart from there, not only to go to spread the gospel, the good news, but also because it wasn't his time yet for them to take him and to arrest him. So he departed. Now, you'll get in Matthew and Mark and Luke, you'll get some other places that he went that we're going to get in there. But Matthew has it a certain way here, that from here he departed and he went to a deserted place. Not unusual, the Bible tells us, for Jesus to do that. For he got up early in the morning and he'd go out to a deserted place all by himself and spend hours, really, early in the morning with his Father in heaven. What an example to us that we should do. He rose early and spent time in a quiet place of prayer. So what unusual that he would do this and go out. He went with his disciples, it tells us in Mark, I believe. They went to Bethsaida, and they crossed over in the boat. Okay? And so it was kind of a time he was going to give them some relaxation. Mark and Luke tell us that the disciples, in their gospel, Jesus had sent the disciples out, remember, into the cities and the towns, and he gave them the power through his name to go and to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to spread the word of repentance. Some towns received them, some didn't. But in these gospels, they tell us that the disciples had just returned of doing this. And Mark says that they gathered around Jesus excitedly to tell him all that they had done and all that they had taught. this is either right before or right after the execution of John the Baptist. So Jesus tells them, they've just come back from that trip. He's just gotten through teaching. This has happened with John the Baptist. He said, let us go into a deserted place and rest for a while. Sometimes, don't we just need that? Time alone with Jesus? Yeah, we have our time we set alone to prayer, and sometimes it gets to be there's something that we do. But there comes a time that we need to get by ourselves and spend some time alone with Jesus. And Jesus says this is rest, and that's what he wanted his disciples to do. They needed that. After the time that John was killed by Herod, I just told you that John's disciples came and they told Jesus in an excited way all that they had done. But he said, okay, let's depart. And Mark says they departed by boat with the disciples that had just returned all excited. But they returned all excited, but John's disciples that came with the news to Jesus that he had just been killed were sad. Two sets of disciples coming to Jesus. So what's the common denominator? Of course, they all came to tell Jesus. Jesus is always the common denominator in anything that we have and in anything that we do. No matter what conditions are in our life, we need to tell Jesus. We need time alone with him. And we're going to get into this farther, and I believe it teaches this, that we can't just come to church. And we can't just read the Bible. We have to be fed. We have to actually spend time with the one we believe in. Not just believe about, but believe in. That's what rest is. That's what spending time with Jesus is. It's not just knowing about. Jesus had been teaching, if you remember, in the synagogues with Nazareth. He went back to his own country. He taught them in the synagogues. And what did they do? What did they do? They rejected him mainly because they knew him so well. And that's when Jesus said that a prophet can do anything anywhere else, just to generalize it, except where he was born and raised and everybody knows him from. He had just gotten through doing that. But now he was going to another place. And not really the people in Nazareth, but the people around the areas that had been influenced by the disciples going out and others that heard about what he had been doing. The Bible says when they heard about it, when they heard that Jesus was departing, okay, if with our cell phones today, the songs would start ringing or the text would start going off and it would say he's moving again. That's what it would say. And so they heard that and the Bible says they followed. But they followed so excitedly that they didn't get in boats and go around. The Bible says they walked around the whole lake or the sea. They walked all the way around and were sitting there waiting when Jesus got there. These are a people that are waiting and wanting to see Jesus, aren't they? These people had a need. They had many needs. Some of them were just wanting to see the miracles that he was doing. They were kind of just following somebody, okay? Others were sick. Many people back then, just like today, were sick. We live in a fallen world. They were sick and Jesus was healing. And I don't blame them. They wanted to be physically healed. Others went for different reasons. But the main thing is they wanted to see. They knew there was something about Jesus that they needed to see and they wanted. Now, I want you to get this emphasis here. They made a great effort. They walked all the way around. And Mark says in a hurried fashion, this whole multitude walked around so they could get there ahead and be with Jesus. And Jesus had just said, we need the rest. He was human, 100% human, 100% God. He needed the rest too. So did the disciples. But the Bible tells us that when he saw the people, he had compassion upon them. Here once again, we see the compassion and love of our Lord for that which is lost. A lost and a sick world. The Bible talks about the lamb. A lamb that is lost. I've seen a video in Israel. It was kind of an old video. A lamb that is lost and gets away from the flock doesn't have much sense of direction. not like a dog that can come back. Or you see these stories, a dog was lost and went through several states and found its owner. No, 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 a lamb doesn't have that. A lamb can't follow direction. So when that lamb is lost in the wilderness, it's wandering aimlessly. It has no sense of direction or where it's going to get back to the flock. None at all. Jesus sees these people and he has compassion like that, just like a lamb being lost. Jesus referred to the world this way. He says in Luke 15, and you'll remember this, he gives us a story about that. He says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one which is lost until he finds it? Because the shepherd knows that lamb has no way to get back to him. None. And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. He doesn't just lead it. He doesn't just herd it. He picks it up and puts it on his shoulders to bring it back home. And when he comes home, he calls all of his friends and his neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep, which is lost. I wondered, because I thought of the seven churches in Revelation, and they tell us that Jesus wanders among his seven churches that still have the candlesticks burning. I wonder, does he want to say to us, do we do that? Do we look for the ones that have gone out into the wilderness and don't know how to get back? Or we just enjoy the 99? We're okay. We still got a bunch here. We're losing a few, but we still got a bunch here.
Come on.
That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says the shepherd's going to leave what he knows is okay, the flock. And he's going after that one. And he's going to rejoice when he brings that one back. Matthew says they followed him on foot. But Mark says they hurried there on foot. These people had a need. These people wanted something. Jesus and the disciples went by boat. But these people went all the way around to the other side. The two things we need to ask in our day. Why don't we flock to Jesus like they did? Second one, are we presenting a real Jesus to them when they get there to listen?
That's right.
I mean, really. Don't miss the word food here. Are we not to do the same? Will we not tell the multitudes, come and be fed? Don't come just to have a good time. Don't come to activities. Come here and be fed something. Because that's what the world is looking for. And then it's our responsibility to give them the bread that we're going to see here in a minute that Jesus did. Jesus is the bread of life, the Bible tells us. We don't need to forget that. The disciples were excited when they came back to Jesus. But Jesus knew they needed rest. He also needed it. But even in being tired in that situation where he needed rest, he saw the people, the flock, and he had compassion on them. The crowds, according to Mark, were waiting for him when he arrived. Jesus, in what we just read here, is going to demonstrate to his disciples a very important lesson. Never forget, he is taking care of the people. But all along this journey until the cross, he's training up these disciples, for they would be the foundation of the church when he went to heaven. He's just like he does us. He's teaching them something here. Sometimes a need arises even when you want what we believe is a well-deserved rest.
Come on.
Let's say it again.
That's right.
Sometimes a need arises in my life and your life with someone else, even when we're tired, even when we don't think we can do it, even when something else is taking our attention. There's somebody else that needs it. And we need to be like Jesus. Rest is important, but we're going to learn what the disciples are going to learn here eventually, that self-sacrifice is just that, putting others and others' needs above ourselves. That's what he's teaching. Jesus could have easily retreated for a period of rest. After all, he'd been teaching and performing miracles. He was healing nonstop. He was teaching nonstop. He was tired. The disciples had just returned from hard work. But Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, and the sheep were there before him then. So the Bible says that he had compassion on them. We'll see where the disciples will learn that self-sacrifice leads to a tremendous blessing. I'm going to point that out in a minute. Don't forget that. Self-sacrifice leads to a tremendous blessing for the child of God. Mark informs us that the multitude were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a shepherd, wandering aimlessly. They didn't realize it, and the disciples didn't fully realize it, but now the great shepherd was seated right before them. Right before them. He healed and taught until the end of the day, the Bible tells us. Being tired, he did all of this through the day. He sacrificed. I don't miss this. The disciples had just returned from performing miracles and healing in Jesus' name. They had just seen everything that through Jesus' name that they did. And yet they came to him and said, look, we have a concern. How are the people going to be fed? The hour is late. And is there enough time? Get this point. You can't imagine what the disciples saw when they went to all the towns and what they were thinking. When they spoke in Jesus' name, people were healed. When they spoke in Jesus' name, demons were cast out. When they spoke in Jesus' name, lives were changed. They had just experienced that. And now they come and they got all this crowd before them and they're worried about how they're going to be fed. You see the contradiction there. You see the teaching that Jesus is fixing to show them here. I believe Jesus' statement to them that looks at them, he said, guys, they don't need to go away. They need to be with me. We don't need to send them somewhere else. You give them something to eat. It makes several different points that we need to understand here. Number one, he's saying to them, you've seen miracles done in my name that you were amazed at, and yet at the same time in my presence, you want the people to go somewhere else to be fed.
Come on.
Number two, you'll eventually realize that I am the bread of life. He would get them there. It's going to take a while, just like us, but he'll get us there. Number three, there will be more given than is needed. You remember the teaching in the scripture? We're going to do this sometime. And the Imperials had a song. Any of you old enough to remember the Imperials when they sang? Any of you? Good measure, pressed down, running over. That's a blessing, right? I've taught you before how they used to measure back then. Our measurements are not like that today. Real quickly, when they put it into a basket or whatever container they had, they put it in. A good measure. They put in that day until it ran over. Then they shook it to make sure it got to the bottom. Then they pressed it down and added more. Wouldn't you like to buy stuff like that today? That's what it means. Good measure, pressed down, running over. And that implies the blessings of God, the blessings of Jesus here. We're going to see that when we sacrifice, our blessings are that way that he gives back to us. The old country preacher said, you can't outgive God, can you?
That's right.
No, you can't. There will be more that's needed. And the leftovers are a blessing to those who sacrifice. A good lesson to pastors and deacons. Good lesson to pastors and deacons. Notice the response by those who had witnessed so many miracles. Matthew records these words. We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, let's be careful not to be too critical of these disciples, because I would be far less than them. But later on, they would learn that anything in Jesus' hands can be multiplied. But right now, at this moment, they're saying, this is all we got. This is all we got, Lord, just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus' reply was, leave them here with me and have them sit down in groups of 50. Now, the groups of 50, I don't know, I just thought of churches, I just did, you know, different groups all around. It kind of represents that. That's the way he was going to feed them. Then it says he took the food and he looked up to heaven and he blessed it. Now, the Bible don't tell us this, but it's very possible that he prayed the customary prayer, what they call the bracha, or a benediction, that every leader of the household would pray before a meal. Okay? It's very possible that he prayed that. And here's that prayer. Praise be you Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Whether he prayed that or not, he had before. Very possible that he prayed that. But he looked up to heaven and he blessed it. He thanked the Lord for it. The Bible says that there are 5,000 men besides women and children. It's very possible there were 10,000 people there. Very possible. So I can understand the disciples' concerns. You know, let this crowd go into the towns and let them get something to eat, then they might can come back. Jesus said, no. No, I can feed them. We don't need to do that. You know, sometimes, even in church, we just overthink.
Come on.
You know that? Sometimes we want to take over for God and do the things that we think we need to do. Mm-hmm. Instead of leaving it in His hands and taking what He gives us and praying about it and asking for His blessings. He's going to supply. You know that? He's going to supply. Disciples who had gone without rest. Think about this. They had gone without rest. And they had gone without food. Picked up these baskets overflowing. Jesus broke the bread and he gave it to them. He didn't break the bread and have the people come by and just pick it up. He could have. He broke the bread. He gave it to the disciples because he's teaching them. You serve without eating and without resting. Take care of the flock first. And then I'm going to show you something that's going to happen. He said, when they did that, you ever wondered why it says they picked up? What's it matter? Why does this in the Bible that they picked up so many overflowing baskets that were left over? Each disciple had one, 12 baskets. Because he's teaching them, guys, when you self-sacrifice for others, the blessings that you're going to get is so overflowing you won't be able to carry it.
Come on.
More than they could eat, they picked that up. So what about us listening and going through this teaching? We always want to bring it back to us today for us, right? What's it mean to us? Yeah, all that sounds pretty good. Yeah, that's okay. But what's the teaching for us? Well, do we have a desire to follow Jesus wherever he is like those people did? They obviously believed something. They obviously had a need and a want, and they took their time to go. You can imagine a lot of sick people. Some of them had to be carried. Some of them probably pulled on the stretchers they had. Who knows how they got them there? But they wanted to get them to Jesus. Is there a desire to do and serve even if there is self-sacrifice? We and it's been that way for a long time. But in the industrial world, we become so busy, we barely have time to do anything. Let alone self-sacrifice, which means put aside something that you really need to do and go serve Jesus and help somebody else. Self-sacrifice means just that. It's a sacrifice. It might cost you a little bit, but in the long run, the teaching is you're going to have so much of a blessing eventually in the long run that it is well worth it, well worth doing it. Number three, are we filled with His Word like Jesus filled the bellies of these people? They used to call us Christians people of the book. In the first century, second century, maybe the third, they used to call us people of the book. How I wish they would call us that again.
Come on.
Yes. How I wish they would. But number four, if we are we actually filled with Him? Many of these people came to see Jesus, and that's all it was. They just came to see Jesus. They got their bellies filled. Many of them were healed, and then they left. That's it. It's like coming to church, you just hear the sermon, like Jesus preached on the different fields that the Word falls on. Just hear the sermon, get a little filled, check out the box, and we go home.
Hello.
But you haven't had any Jesus at all. Are we filled with Him? Jesus fed them, and it says they were full. That's for a reason. You can't go to Jesus and to ask for something and get something and you're not come away empty, come away still wanting, or come away not full. It's not possible. But how many would believe in him as the one sent from God to give them eternal life, the true bread of life? That's the starting of his teaching there. I'm going to turn over real quick to John. John 6, 26 through 40. John 6, 26 through 40 here tells us a little bit about this. He said, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. Okay? Like me and Johnny's pizza sometime. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? He answered and said to him, this is the work of God. Listen to this, that you believe in him who he sent. Therefore they said to him, well, what sign are you going to perform? Remember I said a lot of them just wanted to see him do something. Wanted to see him do some magic tricks. What sign are you going to perform that we may see it and that may make us believe? What work are you going to do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert. And it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses is not the one that gave you the bread from heaven. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, we want this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never, ever thirst. But I say to you that you've seen me, and yet you still don't believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, listen to this, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. That is the filling of the bread that Jesus gives. Are we coming to church just to get a little full? In other words, just being a little satisfied with hearing a sermon and, like I said, checking the box and say, well, at least I came. Or do you come to worship because you're full of the bread of life, and that is Jesus who fills everything that you need? In other words, you can't help but come.
That's right. Come on.
There's just something that tells you, I just want
to go.
We can't fool God by just accepting the blessings that flow to everyone as the food did. No, we must accept the one who supplies it, the one who came down to give us life. You eat the bread and still not have Jesus. We need the one that supplies it. Some of these same people that we're talking about here were filled by his blessing, but they're also going to be the ones that reject him. You don't accept the sign. You accept him. You give your life to him as Lord and Savior over your life. That trust is what is called faith. You trust in him. And you and I both know that we have nothing in which we bring before him at all.
That's right.
We have nothing that we can offer him at all.
Come on.
But he takes us, and when he's finished, we're full with blessings running over. Because we have him. I want to tell all of you, the great shepherd has found his sheep, and he leads them beside the green pastures. Amen.